Would you like some cake?
I'm not supposed to.
Don't worry so much about not supposed to. Live a little.
And that's from the movie Chocolat. And don't you wish someone in your childhood had said that to you about something that was healthy to do, but that you felt like you shouldn't? There are rules and regulations, and you'll get punished if you play the piano at the wrong time, or if you run and jump and play when mom wants you to sit still. Just sit still. And what about as an adult? Wouldn't you like someone to say, live a little, enjoy your life? And massages are part of enjoying our lives. Taking the time to nurture our bodies are part of the joy of life. And many of us never consider having a massage. With me to discuss massages is Gretchen Blaker Mason, who is a member of the Center for Sexual Health team at the Psychological Centers in Rhode Island. She's a licensed mental health counselor specializing in sexual and relational health. And she's been a licensed massage therapist for 15 years. And Gretchen also teaches human sexuality at the University of Rhode Island. Welcome, Gretchen.
Thank you, Ellen.
So, Gretchen, I'm wondering, do you ever use massage to help couples stay connected?
Yes. As a psychotherapist, I do work with couples, teaching them self-awareness and how to connect with each other emotionally and physically through touch. And the intention and quality of touch are so important. So sometimes it's not just techniques, but it's how people connect and touch one another. And there's so much information that happens and is conveyed before skin contact occurs. So, you know, a lot of information is energetic and nonverbal and through the body. And I often share the definition of mind that Dan Siegel presents as: the mind is an embodied and relational process that regulates the flow and energy of information within oneself and between people.
Okay, the way I think of it, you know, I'm thinking of visuals as you're talking, Gretchen, and I'm thinking that you can see a guy grab a woman's hand, and it's just mechanical. There's no feeling, no thought, or you can see a guy reach out for his loved one in the most tender gesture. It's the feeling comes through, the look on the face, the eye contact, or even a kiss. A kiss can just be a peck, you know, an unthinking peck. Bye, honey. You know, like that. Yeah. Or it can be, even if it's just saying goodbye in the morning, it can be really psychologically connecting. Saying I love you with your eyes, saying I love you with your whole person. And that's a quality that you really need to nurture. We're not born with that. So if you're doing this with massage, I know my husband and I have difficulty with massage because we both like to be, guess what? The receivers. So, you know, I'll ask him, can you rub my shoulders? And he'll rub them and I'll say, oh, that is so perfect. And then it will end a half minute later. Or I'll rub his, once I gave him a facial massage. I've never done that in my life. And he said it completely released a headache he had. And maybe it was also the psychological value of that too. He said a pounding headache. He's looking at me now. So how can couples use that massage to better their relationship?
I think that's so wonderful that you and your husband give to one another and take care of each other.
Well, we don't. I want more advice.
Okay.
We did it once or twice, and we've been married years.
Yeah.
Help.
You know, hearing you talk about that, it's really, it's an amazing, you know, connecting and nurturing experience. And you're so right about, you know, the quality of touch can really make such a difference. So being distracted, or, you know, just, you know, a peck on the, you know, the lips before leaving. So really learning to become present centered, that's really important. And really tuning into what each person is conveying through their touch. And really being curious about getting to know one another. So, if you've been married for years, you might just assume that you know everything, about each other. But there's a quality of mindfulness and presence and a curiosity. So we don't assume that we know. And so letting each moment be new. So really taking, the more you bring your attention, if you're giving a massage, you know, to your hands and the tissue resistance and what you're feeling. And
that is my husband's hands.
Fascinating.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. And it's really a fascinating process, and there's so much information. And, you know, and when I'm giving a 75-minute massage, the time goes by so fast because I'm really present. So I think that that's another element, too. So it's not, you know, it's more about being and paying attention, and a lot of time can go by pretty quickly when you're in that state of presence.
So really... Yeah. And that's a problem because, you know, I've been to massages where the massage therapist is quiet and I get wonderfully lost in my own thoughts and world and the feelings and the sensations. And with others, I talk about the kid and it's a different experience. I'm not there. I'm having the mechanical work done on my muscles, but I'm not milking the experience. So the idea of if you're in a couple situation, to really milk the experience, to not have your mind elsewhere, and certainly not to have a duty focus. Oh, I have to rub his back. I have to. You know, I'm not going to be there. I'm going to be resentful. I'm going to be thinking about what I want to do afterwards. Whereas, you know, I think of, I want to know his body. I want to understand him. I want to give him feelings that are good. And I want to be able to be open to receiving those feelings if he gives me a massage, hint, hint. You're not supposed to use the hint, hint method, are you?
But all that information does get conveyed. So when you have the intention, all those positive intention, all those, you know, those intentions get conveyed through your touch. And if you're thinking, you know, oh, I'm so tired, I don't want to be doing this,
right,
it's conveyed too.
Right. Now, there's a problem, though, because many times when people, you know, a wife or a husband says, you know, I'll give you a massage, you think, oh, no, you know, it's going to be a demand for sex after a massage, or I give him one, but he's not going to give me one. How do you overcome those types of problems where you feel like there's a payoff at the end?
Right, right. Well, you know, being, you know, again, that if that's the expectation, and if it's really about, you know, I'll do this so I can get that, that's not going to feel very good. So going in with open expectations, you know, that there's not some other agenda.
So taking off the pressure, there's no demand to have sex afterwards. If it happens, and it will only happen if we both want it. If we
Absolutely.
Both don't want it, if one of us doesn't want it, then enjoy the massage.
Mm-hmm. Right, and that can be so deeply satisfying and connecting and pleasurable in itself, you know, when both people are really present.
So it's the expectations. If the husband's going in, and I'm sorry, husbands or partners, and they're thinking, oh, good, you know, I'll give her a massage and I'll get the payoff, then he's going to be angry or frustrated or upset at the end. But if they both go in just for a massage, and if it leads to anything else, it's only because both of them feel aroused or are enjoying it. If not, not. If he or she, it could be the wife too, goes in with expectations of just enjoying the moment, as I know you've said before, just enjoying that, then that will be best. Listen, how can people get in touch with you? Do you have a website that they can reach you if they want to? This is Gretchen Blaker Mason.
Thank you. Yes, I do. My website is halsosamtherapy.com.
Okay, HalSosam. Thank you, Gretchen.
Thank you, Ellen.
And it's great being with you today on The Rational Basis of Happiness. I'm Dr. Ellen Kenner.
Here's an excerpt from The Selfish Path to Romance by psychologist Drs. Kenner and Locke.
Here are two important personality traits valuable in romance: being open and being conscientious. Openness applies especially to emotional openness and the willingness to share one's deepest values and feelings with the other. If one partner refuses to do this out of fear or is unable to do this due to poor introspective skills, then the other partner necessarily feels cut off from the deepest layers of the closed partner's soul. This severely limits emotional intimacy and closeness and undermines gains visibility. However, openness does not mean your partner should act as your therapist. Another important trait is conscientiousness. For example, being responsible about one's money, work, promises, chosen obligations, and health.
Download Chapter 1 for free at drkenner.com, and you can buy the book at amazon.com.